count it a joy to be able to speak to you this morning from the Word of God about the Lord Jesus Christ and declare the gospel of what the Lord has done for sinners and how that He has completed and finished a work that we could not do for ourselves. I just pray the Lord would give us liberty to be able to share it in a way that will be beneficial to you and that you might grow and learn from His Word and be able to go walk in this world in a way to honor and glorify Him a little better than when you came in. I appreciate the good prayer that's been offered and the dear brother that offered it. And I appreciate his love for the Lord and the Lord's love for him. And of course, anytime we have a love for the Lord, that's an evidence that He first loved us. That's why we love Him. I believe you're here this morning because God's placed that love in your heart for Him. And that's an evidence that He first loved you. We love Him because He first loved us. And we're here today to thank Him and to think of Him and to learn of Him and to get clothed in Him that we might live and act and walk in a way to please Him. I'm very dependent as I stand before you upon the blessings of the Lord to be able to preach. And if there is any preaching, you give God the glory. And you are very dependent, as you said in the pew, for an ear to hear. And so you ask God to bless you to hear this morning. I do know this, that which we're sharing here is the most important information and news in this world. It's the gospel. It's good news. It's good news from a far country. It's like cold water to a thirsty soul. You know how when you're out working real hard and you're really, really thirsty, there's not anything in this world like a good old glass of cold water. And when you're in this old world that's so full of trouble and strife as a little child of God, you're a stranger here in this old world, it gets to be a difficult place and a difficult way. And while I'm thinking about it, during the prayer, Sister Lois Gilton came to my mind, and Dave, and we did fail to mention them. I want to ask you to especially pray for Sister Lois and Brother Dave. He's, of course, battling cancer, and she's missing the church here, but she's able to get to some of the meetings down there, and we're thankful for that, but we do miss her here and want to be praying for her. So I know there are others that could have mentioned, but I wanted to get that out before. But today we are really a blessed people to be able to have the Word of God that we can hear about what the Lord's done for us. And that Word will cause your life to change as the Lord gives you the ability to hear it and to understand it and believe it, and then you apply it in your life and wear it and take it with you. It will change your life as you live here in this world. Now, the Lord's already changed you if you belong to Him. He's already done that. That's happened on the inside. Doesn't look much like it on the outside, does it? Sometimes when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we can't always see that change. Sometimes in our conversation, in our talk, you can't see that change. Sometimes you can't see it in our behaviors like we should and all. But there is, if you're a little child of grace today, there has been a change that took place in your life in the new birth that you didn't have anything to do with whatsoever. It's a work of grace that God did in your heart and that He has done for you. The wind of His grace, as He told Nicodemus, that wind blows where it listeth. You can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. That wind of grace has quickened you and made you alive. And the righteousness of God in the person of the Holy Spirit has taken up His abode in your heart. And there is a legal sense in which you stand today, washed in the blood of Christ, righteous in the sight of God, because Jesus paid a price for you that you could not pay. And that is an eternal work that has eternal consequences. And that home in heaven that's been purchased for you, there's nothing you can do to get it or nothing you can do to lose it. He has done it. It's a finished work, complete and thoroughly accomplished in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet the old Adam man still exists, that old hard-headed, ornery critter you've been dealing with in your life that you may never even knew existed until the new man, the inner man, You were born of God, and there, that's when the warfare really began. You have a warfare. I say to you, you feel that warfare. Probably even today you felt that warfare from the old inner man that on track wants to do what's right, leading, following the word of God, wants to go that way. And then the old outer man, ladies, sisters, you can call it inner woman, outer woman. It's that spiritual side, that spiritual birth that's in you, that work of God that's in you, that's leading you and guiding you as the Holy Spirit guides you to all truth. And then you have that old nature that's so contrary to that. And there's your warfare. Now, if you don't know about that warfare, it'll drive you crazy. Because you'll think I'm nuts. you'll think I'm confused. One day I'm on, one day I'm off. One day I'm trying to do right, and the next minute I'm trying, seems like I'm going another way. Why is it that sometimes it seems so easy to pray, and other times it seems like he's so far away, I'll never reach him again? Why is it sometimes in my life it seems like the words come out just fine and I can praise and honor him, and other times it seems like what comes out of my mouth is so far removed from what it ought to be? And out of the same mouth proceeds both cursings and praise. How could that be? Well, it ought not to be, but it is so, isn't it? Well, see, what the Bible does, it doesn't come and give you life. You already have that life. It doesn't come work the new birth and give that birth in you, because that's already been done by God. If that hasn't been done by God, the Bible would be of no benefit to you. What the Bible does is help you and help me to walk and talk and live, putting on the new man, being renewed in our minds, having our minds transformed and growing in grace and knowledge of the truth, so that it is more reflective on the outside of what God has put on the inside. And that means you got to tear off the old man and his deeds, which means you can't want what you want, do what you want to do, and act like you want to act and be like you want to be. You got to say, "No, Lord, I want to submit unto thee. Thou art my life. You are my song. You are my reason for living. Thou art the reason that I am alive, and therefore my life, I am not my own. I'm a bondservant. I'm a slave. I belong to the Lord." Do you understand that today? You belong to the Lord. And we want to be obedient to the one we belong to. I'd like to read to you today from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Pray that the Lord would bless us to be attentive to his word and learn from this passage, which I'm sure is familiar to you. On this occasion, Jesus is going down to Jerusalem, and he's going there. This is at the latter part of his ministry in this world. He is going there to do what he said he was going to do in John 14. He was going to die on the cross. He was going to pay a sin debt. He was going there to pay that price that we could not pay, and to do that which we could not do. But here on the way, he came across those, and didn't just come across, I believe he specifically went to where they were, and he specifically went there that this might be recorded and given to us and that we might learn from it today. Here in Luke chapter 17, we read about 10 lepers that came to Jesus. And actually, Jesus came to them, because lepers couldn't really go to anybody. They had to stay away from everybody because they were lepers. And if Jesus hadn't gone to them, they would have never been able to come to him. The great lesson in that part of it. Well, let me read the text before we get to the lesson. I've been having trouble doing that recently. I've been doing a lot of talking without reading, and then sometimes I get off on a tangent and confuse everybody, and we don't want to do that. Luke chapter 17, it says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered," this is verse 11 of Luke chapter 17, and verse 12 says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." We do not have the name of this village given in Scripture, but this is probably a colony or a group of people that had the disease of leprosy, and they had to live separate from everyone else. They were not allowed into the cities because of the disease that they had. And it was an incurable disease. Nothing could be done for them by man. Even the priest that they would go to would only be able to tell them that you are a leper. And he did that as the law showed to him that they were lepers. And he pronounced him unclean. And we may look at that and let me read. Verse 13. It says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus. Well, let me get verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. That's a very important phrase in that verse. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What a beautiful account of the power of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know proof that Jesus was verily God, here is clear evidence of that. We know from Naaman, and we talked about that a little bit in the a week ago, whenever that was. Naaman had the disease of leprosy, and Elisha, the prophet, was blessed of God to be able to cure that disease or heal that disease, telling Naaman what to do. Naaman went and dipped in the River Jordan 7 times, and his flesh came back to him whole, and that was under the authority given unto the prophet Elijah by Almighty God. Elisha never cured anybody. Elisha never deserved the praise or the glory or the honor for that, because Elisha did not have the power to heal the disease of leprosy. The king, when he heard that his responsibility was to heal this Syrian general of leprosy, and that word came to him, the king said, am I a God that I can heal leprosy? You see, it was known that there was nobody could heal leprosy but God. Ain't it wonderful to have a great physician that can take care of whatever your case is today? Elisha couldn't handle it. Nobody else could handle it. Elisha, though he was blessed of God to handle it, had to be blessed of God to do what he did. Elisha was able to do it because of God giving him the power to do it. You see, a double portion of the spirit of Elijah had fallen on Elisha, and that the wonderful blessing had come so that they might know there was a prophet of God in Israel. And that wasn't because Elisha was something, it was because Elisha's God was something. And by the way, the God of Elisha is the God of today. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. The God that we serve is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And He has the power. He proved it in the Old Testament in the healing of Naaman. And here we see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ healing also. But I'm telling you, He did it greater than the prophet Elisha healed. You see, it wasn't just by the power of the Father that he healed. But these men fell down before Jesus and worshipped him, or at least one of them did. And the reason he didn't say, stand up, I'm but a man, because he was more than just a man. Yes, Jesus was a man. I love the story that Jesus was a man, because if he had not been a man, and altogether a man, if he had not been 100% man, he could have not stood in my place or in your place like he did at Calvary and die and pay the sin debt for us. But if he had just been man, then he would have been born of Adam, and only from Adam. He would have received a polluted bloodline, and his death on the cross wouldn't have accomplished a thing. But you see, he wasn't only man, but he was Emmanuel. And guess what Emmanuel means? You already know, don't you? The very word means God with us. And he proved that he was who he was by healing the diseases of these individuals. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Do you think he just happened to run across them? You think he just happened to run into them? You think they just happened to come where he was or be near where he was? Was that just happenstance? Was that just something that happened by chance. You see, so many people face their life like their life is just going along on its own. Like you got this happening and this occurring and that occurring. Can I say to you this morning that God's providential guidance and care and watch care has never left any of His people at any time. But in every circumstance of our life, you can see the almighty hand of God working, and He has led us by a way we would have not gone before or on our own. He has kept us from things we would have gotten into. He has led us into. You wouldn't be here today if it had been left up to you, and neither would I. And if you know anything about the Lord at all, you know that because He came to where you were, just like these lepers couldn't come to Him because they had the disease of leprosy. You and I could not come to Jesus because we have the disease worse than leprosy. We have the disease of sin. Who's got it? Well, the Bible says we all have it. Romans 3 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you think about the leper, and you read over in Leviticus 13, and we may look at a few verses there, probably will, in Leviticus 13. Let's just turn there. When you read about the disease of leprosy, it was a dreaded disease, but sin is just like that. Once it's identified, you have no cure, you're pronounced unclean. And if you go to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 13 gives you a detailed account that was the way under the law that they were to identify the disease, and it was the responsibility of the priest. It was given to him by God to identify the disease. And Leviticus 13 tells when it is leprosy and when it is to be declared unclean. And Leviticus 14 then tells us about what sacrifices are to be offered once one is cleansed from leprosy and pronounced clean. But you read Leviticus 13 and 14, and there was never any power given to these priests to make anybody clean. They could only pronounce someone unclean or clean. There's only one high priest that can cleanse you. Isn't that wonderful? There's only one who can take the unclean and make them clean. But let's still getting ahead of ourselves, and let's look at Leviticus 13. I'd like to read right in the first verses of Leviticus 13. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising a scab, a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, that he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. And that whole 13th chapter is spent on how the priest is to do that. You see, God didn't just say, do it any way you want to. He had it diagnosed on how it was to be done. Isn't it wonderful that God left them under the law, such a wonderful law? The law was anything wrong with the law. Somebody said, well, the law, we're because of the law we got in trouble. No, it wasn't law that got us into trouble. It was not keeping the law that gets you into trouble. It isn't God's commandments that get you in trouble. It isn't the Old Testament, even the Old Testament service. Nothing wrong with it. It was given by God. It was man's inability to keep the law. And by the way, that inability to keep the law was pointed out by the law, which allowed us to see our great need of a Savior. You see, when you go to the law and you read the law, you'll be condemned by the law. Nobody through the law gets righteous. It's not given to make you righteous. It was given to point out our unrighteousness so that we might look then to our righteousness, who is Christ Jesus. He is our only hope of righteousness and cleansing. Here, once that had been despotted, it says once they have seen that, they pronounce him unclean. And if you read through these passages, and it's a lot of reading, but it's good reading. It's time. I encourage you to do that. You read that, you'll see how each thing was identified either as clean or unclean. But these verses jumped out at me in this passage, verse 44. And whatever the case is when they're pronounced unclean, it says, verse 44, this follows that. It says, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean, his plague is in his head. Can I say to you this morning, every single one of us, when it comes to sin, We all, based on ourselves, have been diagnosed, and the diagnosis is clear and plain. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. And if we had to be diagnosed today based on what we are before the Lord, we are condemned and unclean. And that is part of the message of salvation, is to understand the dreaded state we are in without the grace of God. We're lost. And we're undone. We're as helpless as those lepers. And that disease brought on a similar set of circumstances that we have that sin brings on in our life. And I see a perfect pattern and type of leprosy and sin. It's laid out here in God's Word. Because what results from leprosy by the law of God results in many ways in sin by the law of God. We see what sin does is very much like what leprosy brought on. Let's read that. He says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent." Now, get this. If you had one spot of leprosy, you was considered unclean. If your whole arm was rotting off, you were considered unclean. If your whole body, except for verse 13, and I'm still looking at verse 13, I encourage you to read that. That is the case where if it's all over the whole entire body, he wasn't pronounced unclean, but he was rather pronounced clean. Seems strange, doesn't it? I may leave that with you. But if there was one spot of leprosy, if it was in his somewhere on his body, if you saw this, he was considered by the priest to be unclean. And if he had one spot or much, he was still unclean. Does that sound like anything that James said when he says, if you're guilty? You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm not guilty of as much as that brother. Or I'm not as guilty as much of that sister. I haven't been as bad as this one. I haven't been as bad as that one. It's like a leper saying, I know I'm a leper, but I'm not nearly as much a leper as her, or not nearly as much a leper as him. And a lot of times men talk about their sin in that degree. Oh, I might have messed up once or twice, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or so-and-so. And certainly God couldn't save this person because he's so full of it. It's almost like one leper saying the other leper is a lot more leprous than me. But you see, the Bible says that if you have one spot of leprosy, or you're covered, almost covered with it, you're clean. Now, you're unclean. Now, that picture, I'll just share you my thoughts, and I hesitate to do this, but my thoughts about being that one who's covered with it all the way really sees the condition you and I are in. You see, until you see sin is mixed in everything I do, sin is not only in my hands, it's in my feet, it's in my mind, it's in my heart, it's all, I'm covered. I don't have one single spot of leprosy. See, I am not just unclean. I feel to be the most unclean of the unclean. I see myself, and I hope and pray, if you don't see yourself right now that way, that God will bless you to see yourself as completely unworthy of any of the blessings of Almighty God, because you're so full of sin. From the Bible itself, it tells you, and you know, you may feel like, well, I've been a pretty good boy, I've been a pretty good girl. Listen, let's get honest about it. You know what's going on in your mind, you know what's going on in your heart, and if the Spirit of Almighty God rests in you, He has allowed you to see what a mess you are without Him. And as long as I approach the priest trying to find one single clean thing in me, I'm going to be unclean. It's only when I come completely leprous that the cleansing effect of the Lord Jesus Christ is there, and I'm made clean. By the way, only Jesus can cleanse leprosy. And only Jesus can take care of our sin problem. It says, In the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Listen, when we are in our sin, and we have that sin in us, our clothes shall be rent. We have no righteousness we can put on. We don't have any clothing to wear. Our righteousness is, according to Isaiah 64, is what? But it's filthy rags. Even the very best we have to offer is but filthy rags. So the clothes are rent, and his head is bare. You don't have anything to put on your head to cover you. Until the Lord works in you, until the Lord has cleansed you, and then you have something to put on. You have the helmet of salvation to put on your head. Before that time, as a leper, you got a head that's standing bare. And then he says, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip. Listen, the mouth of those that have not been touched by God's grace will never declare his praise. The dead praise not the Lord. They will not sing praise unto him. There's a covering. The only thing that can come out of their mouth, the only thing they'll ever say, or that which doesn't honor God, it just pronounces and tells the world their uncleanness. And that's exactly where you and I would be until the Lord comes where we are. Because we can't go to him. Why can't we go to him? Because it says this, he shall cry unclean, unclean, and all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. That's why when he went to see the priest, he couldn't just go into the camp and see the priest. The priest had to come out of the camp to see him. Because he had no right to go to the priest. I'm telling you, if we had to go to Jesus to get it right today, if we had to make the step, if we had to do that, we could not get there because we, as being unclean, could never go to him. Not only could we not, we would not, because it's not in our mouth, it's not in our heart, it's not in our understanding. If it was left up, as the world says, you come to the Lord and you will find what you need. Listen, yes, you can come to him only when you're drawn of the Father. No man, he said, can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. No man cometh unto the Son but by the Father, and no man can come unto the Father but through the Son. And he to whomsoever that he's drawn, and it's by the power of God that we're able to come to him. Aren't you glad that he had mercy on an old leper, on an old sinner like you and I? Otherwise, we'd still be in the habitation all alone. I'm glad I haven't had to live alone in this world. I'm glad I've had friends that cheer me. I'm glad I've had brothers I can talk to. I'm glad I've had sisters I can walk with. I'm glad I have a friendship and a fellowship in my family that goes beyond just the ties of nature. I'm glad and thankful that I have a God when my family's in trouble I can bow my head with and pray and ask God to bless us. I'm thankful that he's allowed me to know that and understand that. I'm glad that I have a helmet of hope of salvation. My head doesn't have to be bare. I'm thankful that I've got a robe to wear, which is the robe of his righteousness. I'm thankful that I've got an armor to put on, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm putting on the whole armor of God. I can go out into the battle in this world. I'm thankful that he's taken this old unclean thing and washed me in his blood so that I'm clean and fit. And listen, if you love the Lord, there's evidence he's done it for you. Therefore, you and I ought to be going to the priest and offering up the sacrifices because we have been made clean. You see, these priests in the Old Testament, they couldn't make them clean. They could just say, you're either clean or you're not clean. Do you understand the preacher can't make you clean? He can pronounce you. He can give you some pronouncing. Listen, and he can't do that other than through the gospel. But the gospel can pronounce to you. What does the gospel do? It declares, doesn't it? The gospel is a declaration. Some people say it's an invitation. I say it's a declaration. The gospel does have some invitations to God's little children. But there is nothing for the dead alien sinner in the gospel other than a declaration of his uncleanness. Do you see that? Until God quickens that individual and makes them alive. And you might be saying, but have I been made alive? Have I been made alive? You ever had that question? Have I been made alive? Has that happened to me? Do I love him? Am I his or am I not? Do I belong to him? Dear ones, if that's a concern on your mind and on your heart, like a dear brother said to me one time, oh, I want Jesus, how can I get him? I heard that question asked from a young brother sitting here weeping from his eyes. Yeah, I want Jesus, how can I get him? And the good news is, brother, you couldn't get him, but he came to you. The idea that you want him shows that he came to you. And he worked something in you you could not work in yourself. You as a leper couldn't go to the priest. But the priest, the high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, came from heaven itself into this world to save sinners like you. Isn't that good news? Is that good news for you? If it's good news, you say amen. Hallelujah. Thank God because he redeemed and I love to proclaim it. That's our only. Listen, my salvation isn't in me going to the Lord. It's in the Lord coming to me and what he's done for me. And once he's done something for me, then I don't have to have that thing on my mouth anymore. I can praise him because he's given me a mouth to praise him. That's why you're supposed to be at church praising him. It's okay to be at the ball game yelling. That's all right, as long as you're not at the same time you're at church praising him. You hear me? It's okay to do the things of this world unless it's time for the children of God to meet at the Lord's house, and then it's time to be at the Lord's house giving thanks to the God who gave you life and health and blessings and family and the promises in this world. Listen, every good thing you've got in this world has come to you by the grace of God. It isn't because you deserved it. What you deserved is to be in a habitation all by yourself and all alone, and there would have been no help for you, and you would have been cast away from Him in an eternity of torment had it not been for this Savior, this high priest, who came where you were like he did these 10 lepers. And when he did that, he didn't come to try to get them. And Matthew 1:21 didn't say, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he'll try to save his people from their sins," does it? It says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why? "For he shall save his people from their sins." That tells me he came for his people. You know who he got? His people. You know how many of them? All 10 of them in these lepers. And I'll tell you how many he gets of his children. Every one the Father gave him in covenant before the foundation of the world. He will not, cannot, and does not miss one of them. And they'll all be with him in glory. They'll all be cleansed because he came to them and cleansed them. A whole lot more than they met here today. See, I believe there's 10 somewhere. Where are the 9? There's one that is gathered here today to worship him and thank him. And that's where you want to be, worshiping him and thanking him. We read this on, it says, "All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." And just read Leviticus 14 and you'll get lost in it. Of all that takes place in the ceremonial law, showing the purification, ceremonial purification that took place after one has been pronounced clean. Keep in mind that under the law, that wasn't ever anything to make someone unclean clean. It was one who has been identified as being unclean who's now been made clean. And the priest then was to offer up certain sacrifices for in that process of ceremonial purification. He was to offer up certain sacrifices and thanksgiving to God. Let me tell you, our coming to church doesn't make us clean. But because we've been made clean, we ought to come to church. Our walking in the waters of baptism won't make you clean, but because you've been made clean, you ought to walk in the waters of baptism. Our uniting with the Lord's church and living our lives in the fellowship of the flock won't change the unclean and make them clean. Listen, if you've been clean, though, you ought to do that. Your following Jesus won't make you clean. It's because you've been made clean that you want to follow Jesus, and now you put him on. And that's process that is shown right there under the law, that none of those actions that were given to do caused them to be clean. It was to be done because they had been cleaned, and it was to give honor and glory and testimony to the one who has cleansed them. So many people, so many even God's children today, trying to live and act good enough so that they can go to heaven. Listen, going to heaven will never be gained by you acting and behaving good enough, but you should be acting and behaving like the Lord has taught you, not in order to get to be clean, but because you've been cleansed. And now that what he has done on the inside, you and I are commanded to put on the outside. That means every day I ought to get up thanking the Lord for the day he's given me. I ought to go to work thinking, "Lord, thank you for my job." Sometimes I go to work complaining about my job. I ought to thank the Lord for the boss he's given me. I ought to thank the Lord for the people around me. I ought to thank the Lord for the families allowed me to have. I ought to thank the Lord for the community he's blessed me to live in. I ought to thank the Lord for this nation that he's allowed us to have. I ought to thank the Lord for all that he's done for this old sinner and all he's blessed me with. I especially ought to thank him for the sweet promise of one day being with him forever in glory. And that's living not to get it. It's living because he's given it to you. Let's go back to Luke. I can't read these old-fashioned watches, Brother Charles. I know you doubt that sometimes, but that's okay. He entered into a certain village in verse 12, and there met him 10 lepers, and those verses which stood afar off. Can you see why they stood afar off? If it had been left up to them to come to him, they couldn't have done it. He had to come where they were. And that's true of him coming to us in our life. Listen, if you know the Lord, because he first knew you, and he knew you before the foundation of the world, and he loved you then, and he came from heaven to come here for you. And he died for you, he paid a sin debt for you, and then in time he sent the Holy Spirit, which is himself, and he came and took up his abode in your heart, born you of his Spirit. You have been washed, the blood of Jesus Christ, you're legally clean before Almighty God, already cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Your salvation was secure some 2,000 years ago now when he died on the tree of the cross. Every one of the elect was bought and paid for. And there was not a thing that can separate them from the Lord and the love of God. And then he works in your heart in time. Tears your nest up. Tears your little playhouse down. Turns your world upside down. Some of you it happened when you were young. Some of you probably could have even happened before you ever were born. I know for me it happened when I was just a young boy, running around in the world, thinking, boy, I had, just not worried about nothing, just going along, and all of a sudden I felt to be such a sinner. And I did what anybody tell me to do to try to feel better, and I went in that system for a long time, trying to live right, good enough, believe good enough, walk good enough, talk good enough. Even to the point I give up, saying, boy, there ain't no hope for me. I might as well go live like the world, because there's no way. I'm not getting any better. I must be apostate. I must no hope for me. And then only when I came to see that the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is my hope. Isn't that wonderful? To know that the shed blood of Jesus Christ is your sufficiency. It's not what you did for him. It's what he did for you. And then you can rest in that. Listen, if you believe some other doctrine, you'll never have rest. You may be cleansed, but you'll never glorify him like you ought to until you recognize it's all what he did for me. You're trying to get good enough to be accepted with him, you'll never be accepted. If you wait till you're good, you'll never come. If you wait till I'm better, you won't get better. You'll be like that little woman with an issue of blood. You get worse and worse. Listen, leprosy doesn't get better. It just gets worse and worse. And maybe when you get to the place, and maybe this is what verse 13 in Leviticus 13 is about, maybe when you get to that place where the leprosy has covered you completely and you don't have one single clean spot, the Lord enlightens you to allow you to see what a sinner you are so that you understand, I can't do it on my own. You see, that's what the gospel tells you over and over. If you got any do it on your own and you sit around an old Baptist church very long, you're either going to get mad or leave or something. You're going to either embrace it or run. Because I'll tell you what, if you got any uppities about you and the gospel is really preached, you'll be laid out every meeting. We're not here to make you feel good about yourself. We're not here to lift up man or the things of man. Old Baptists will talk about you. He'll talk about your husband, your wife, your mother, your grandmother, your grandparents. It'll go always back to the federal head from which you came. And it'll tell you, In Adam, you wasn't something. Listen, Adam was the best man that was made. He was made in the very image of God, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam. The first Adam was the very best of us. Somebody said, we evoluted up and getting better and better. Listen, we've been degenerating from the time the first man was made. He was made in the image of God and upright. He had the wisdom enough to name every animal that came before him. He didn't just know their names. He named them. He had that kind of wisdom. I know of no man with that kind of intellect. You say, you mean and you believe in a literal account of Genesis? Listen, without a literal account of Genesis, you and I don't need Jesus. Because if there's no literal Genesis, there's no literal fall. And if there's no literal fall, we don't need a redeemer. I'm telling you, it was in Adam we all died. That's because there was an Adam, and he was a man made in the very image of God, but he fell from that state and fell into a state of sin and death. And that's where we go by the bloodline. So if there's any uppity in you, let's knock that out of the way. That's why in an old Baptist church, if you try to be something, you're not going to get along very well. The old preacher used to say the way up in the old Baptist church is down, and the way down is up. Because if you don't get down, you won't be lifted up. You will, and if you lift yourself up, you'll be abased. Have you ever come in feeling a little good about yourself and then sat under a real good gospel sermon? Isn't it good to get all of that stuff knocked out of you so that you can then learn what you are by nature and then understand what I am by grace? Listen, it doesn't keep you feeling bad. It gives you the only true joy that's really here in this world. Listen, my goodness is in, if I have any, is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for me. If I'm able to do a single thing, it'll be by His grace. If I'm able to trust Him, it'll be by His grace. If I'm able to call on Him, it'll be by His grace. He has given me the grace sufficient to live my life in a way to glory, glorify Him, and all praise and honor and glory belongs to Him. I don't have sense enough to head my family, but God can give me the ability to be what I'm supposed to be as the husband. And my wife is blessed to be given the ability by Almighty God. Otherwise, she wouldn't know. And in this church, we would be at one another's throats. We already have enough flesh that gets there from time to time. Let's kick that to the side. Let's look over one another, wash one another's feet, brethren. Let's be at one another's feet, forgiving one another. And remembering it's Jesus who came where we were when we were lepers and cleansed us. It was Jesus who gave them the ability. Listen, and they lifted up their voice. These lepers lifted up their voice and said, Jesus. Oh, that word Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful name? What they really said is Savior. They cried unto Him as their Savior. Somebody said, well, see, they had to come to Him before He came to them. Listen, they'd have never called on Him if He hadn't already come to them. Do you believe that? They'd never cried, Jesus, have mercy on us, unless they had already been blessed of God with faith, which is the gift of God and a fruit of the Spirit, to be able to call on Him. Why would they think that this man called Jesus could help them anyway? And the reason they could do that is because the Father had revealed Himself unto them in their hearts, and they knew. Why would a brother say, I need Jesus? How can I get to Him? It's because God had already worked something on the inside that allowed him to see you needed Him. Do you see you need Jesus today? You see that? If I ask you the question, do you need Jesus? Is your answer, oh yes, I need Him. If that is your answer, can I say to you, you didn't get that out of yourself? Flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee. But my Father which is in heaven, if you know who Jesus is and your need of Him, it's because He awakened you to that. The new birth has taken place. The preacher didn't do it. The gospel didn't do it. The Spirit of God did it. And He worked that in you so that you knew to call on Him. These lepers knew to call on Him because He had awakened them to that. They cried out, Jesus, all together, Master. They knew He wasn't just Jesus, He's Master. You know He's Jesus, Savior, but He's also Master. That means He's the boss. And if He's the boss, that means you and I aren't. Who's the head of our church? Jesus, not the preacher. The preacher is the servant. He is only to be an under-shepherd and leading and guiding as Jesus directs him. And his rule is only through the Word of God as He preaches and teaches to the Lord's people. The highest ecclesiastical institution in this world is the Lord's church. But the rock of the church, the foundation of the church, the beauty of the bride, the church, is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no headquarters in this world. Our headquarters are in heaven. Glad we don't. And so when you say, I'm going to call up the headquarters and ask the question, you know what you do? You pray on your knees and ask the Lord and then go to His Word for what He's told us to do. That's wonderful. That means there's no plaque to be put up to anybody but Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that? There's no praise to be given to anybody but Jesus. There's no honor and glory to be shared and given to anyone. We're to be thankful for one another. But I'm telling you, if it hadn't been for Jesus, all you and I would have been was a colony of lepers. But He's changed us. You see, old Baptists tear you down, but they shouldn't leave you there. You know, I don't want to leave you there. I want you to know you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. You've been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus loved you enough to come and die for you. The Father loved you enough to send His only begotten Son. The Spirit has loved you enough to make intercession for you, come in your heart and make an intercession to God for you. If it had not been for the love of Almighty God, what a mess we'd be in. In yourself, you're nothing, but in Him, you're washed. Listen, in Him, you got something to put on your head. We talked about that. You have something to wear. You have some clothing to wear. You have a glass. Listen, you have your help and a friend in Jesus that will help you whatever position you're in, wherever. I don't know what trouble you're in today. I know a little bit about some of you. I know a little bit about my own self. I know that the trouble of this world is going to overwhelm me and you. And the adversary is there to try to ruin our lives and destroy our lives. And he will sift us as wheat. And if we open ourselves up to his influence, he'll take you down a path that'll make you sick. The only help we have, which is the greatest help, and all you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. You need him young or old or wherever you are. You don't lay hold on him to get clean. You lay hold on him because he's made you clean. You see, if you've been made clean, you're supposed to walk clean, act clean, talk clean, be holy as he is holy. That is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not arrogance. That's humility, meekness, love, joy. These are the fruit of the Spirit. You want to see God's people? You see them full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Those fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians. He says, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. You know, now he hadn't cleansed them. He just said, you go. You want to see faith? They're going to the priest. But I'm telling you, as they're going to the priest, they haven't been cleansed. And by nature, you know what you would say by nature? Why would I go to the priest? I'm still leprous. Jesus, have mercy on me, but I'm still leprous. Why would I go to the priest? There's leprosy still here. I still have it. But they went. And as they went, you say, well, why would they have gone? Because he had worked faith in them. Hear me. It's faith. You see an evidence of faith. When you see an evidence of faith, don't give man the glory for the faith, because it's not the fruit of a man to have faith. It's the fruit of the Spirit. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. If you have faith today to be enabled to believe God, it's because he has born you again and he's given you that faith. Now that he's given you that faith, it is important that we use it and exercise it in believing. But as they went, and it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Can you imagine at 10 how excited they were? I'll tell you one thing. I've seen some brethren get pretty excited when they hear can you remember when the message of the Lord Jesus Christ really first came home to your heart? Where you really felt that forgiveness. Not just that he's forgiven other people, but that he forgave me. When you really understood how much you needed him, and then the message came that he did that for me. He died for me. And you felt that cleansing. Listen, as they went, they were cleansed. Whew, I thought, 10, I bet they were happy. All the money in this world wouldn't exchange anything for that. Cleansed. I mean, what does that mean for them? It means everything. I'm no longer living all by myself. I can go see my family. I can go see my friends. I can take this thing off my lip. I don't have to have a bare head. I can go into this world cleansed and whole. I can go stand. Going to the priest, and I'm going to the priest according to the law. Get this. It was important that Jesus kept the law to a jot and to a tittle. He didn't come away to abolish the law. He didn't come away to do away with the law. He came and fulfilled the law. And so he followed the law. He sent them to the priest because that was what the law at this time demanded. They would go to the priest. Now, what did the priest do? Did he cleanse them? No, Jesus cleansed them. He just pronounced them clean and performed the ceremonies. And what did those ceremonies do? Well, you read about this in another place in the New Testament, which I don't have time to talk with. Another place in the New Testament. The ceremony was just a testimony to what was done. You know what the testimony of the law is? Jesus said, search your scriptures. For in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Okay. One of them, when he saw, he was healed. Only one of them. He saw he was healed. He turned back. He said, I know where this came from. I cried and he's healed me. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Some people say, you know, some people say, well, don't be too loud in church. Don't be getting lifting up your voice. I'm telling you, there ought to be a lot more praise. There ought to be a lot more honor being given to the Lord. There ought to be some more testifying from the hearts of the Lord's people of what the Lord has done for them. Not only with our mouths, but with our actions and with our behavior. This man's life was changed and he wanted to give glory and honor and praise to the Lord. And I don't think he cared who thought anything of it. Because he knew without the Lord, I'm a leper, but with him I've been made whole. So he came back. And with a loud voice, he glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Why did he give Jesus thanks? Listen, Elisha wasn't to be given thanks because Elisha only did what God gave him the ability to do. But Jesus deserves thanks because he did this by the power of the Son of God, who he verily was. He was verily God. See the difference? And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even of the Jewish family. One that was a stranger, considered to be a stranger, saw more than all the others. Listen, sometimes it's not the high-minded that see this. It's hidden from the wise and prudent, revealed unto babes. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Sometimes I'll see an old Baptist meeting house and it just be so many seats missing. I'll go like, where are the 9? You know, I know there are more cleansed than this. How many have been cleansed? Has the Lord been good to you? Amen. Has he blessed you in this world? Amen. Has he given you a sweet promise of one day being with him in glory? Amen. When he died on the cross, do you believe and hope in your heart? He did that for you. Amen. Then where should you and I be? We should be where he is honored and praised. But sometimes we get it all and take it kind of for granted and get tied up in everything else. And listen, it sounds like more people that are cleansed do that than those that truly come back and glorify God. What does that mean? That means you'll always see just that 1 out of 10 or that little flock. God's church is just a little flock. That doesn't mean that's all of God's children. I believe this community is peppered with Lord's people, don't you? I believe it. As a matter of fact, I see them. I sometimes talk to them and say, oh, come on to church. I want you to come. I want you to come where you can glorify the Lord. Come, come. I want to ask them. I encourage you to ask them. They may come and they may only come once. They may get upset and never come back, but you ask them to come on. I believe what we have by the grace of God is beneficial to God's little children. I believe it'll feed them. I believe it'll nourish them. It'll strengthen them. It'll help them. It won't cleanse them because he's done that. We don't need to cleanse them. We just, by the grace of God, are able to provide a place where they can come and glorify the Lord. And we didn't provide it. It's the Lord who's given it to us. Listen, if this church has anything, it's because he's built it. And he's the one who keeps it. It's working. I'm over time. There, my wife accused me this morning of having a watch. It did not work. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now listen, his faith was really the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that was given to him. Your faith is what God's given you. You believe that? You believe you got your faith on your own? You believe you went to God to get it? Who gave you your faith? If you have faith, it's God who's given you your faith. You use that faith and you will find your life whole. You will find walking by that faith, walking in that peace, walking in that rest here in this world. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. Appreciate your kind attention.